Thank you, Ms. Carey. We appreciate that very much. I want to ask you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. As you're turning there, this is kind of going to be two messages in one. And I know that frightens some of you to death. You frequently tell me that sometimes just my one message goes too long. And I'll tell you, I did enjoy last week. Think of it. Last week, we just had one service. We didn't have our early service at 8:30, and we didn't have this one 11. We had everybody at 10, and right afterwards, my wife and I went to Chili's, and we got a table just like that. That was exciting. We have never been able to do that in any of the restaurants after having an 11 o'clock service because the Methodists beat us there. We won't go too long this morning, but I want to look at our future and then our theme this morning. Again, we're going to be in Psalm 51 in just a moment. Just hold your place there because I want to tell you about some exciting things that we have coming here right at the start. And the very first thing I want to tell you is that we have a better website in place, and I'm excited about that. You say, what's the big deal about a website? Well, folks, do you, and I'm serious when I ask this, how many brand new places do you go today without going to a website first? Folks, there's no place I go brand new that I've never been before that I go without going to a website first. And if I'm looking for a hotel or something, I go to, there's a particular website I use, and I read all the reviews, and I want to make sure, you know, it doesn't say, oh, I found 12 dead roaches in the bathroom, because it's like, okay, not going to that hotel, you know. I want to go and look, and we've had a website, obviously, for years, but I appreciate Brother Evan has really been working on it, and it looks a lot better than it has in the past. And here's the interesting thing is that we get statistics from it, and folks, we have about 1,000, in the past, we've had about 1,000 hits every month to our website. Do you know the exact number of the last month that you, but it was over 1,000. You say, what's the big deal? Folks, that's 1,000 people who are looking us over. That's 1,000 people who are looking at what we have to offer. And we want to make sure that what we have on our website is good. Brother Evan's been doing real good keeping it up to date too. Have you ever been on a website, and folks, ours has been like this before. Have you ever been on a website that you click on it and it says, don't forget the Mother's Day breakfast, May 6, 2012. And you're going, somebody needs to update that. Well, Brother Evan's doing a real good job of keeping it updated. But I'm really excited about that because, again, sometimes people say, how do you get young couples into a church? Well, folks, I'm telling you, there is not a young couple, that will come to a church, hardly, that will not go to a website first. And if we have an inviting website, then that is a big plus. Here's a second thing. We're going to very soon have giving on our website. We thought that would have already been in place, but it's not quite in place yet. But prayerfully, by the end of this month, we're going to have giving on our website so that if somebody goes to our website, likes what they see, they can just click give, and they can, you know, drop us $500,000. By the way, any of you are free to do that as well. But why is giving on the website important? Again, these are just some statistics I read that when you have giving on your website, that you're giving for the year will go up 5%. Anybody want to have 5% more come in than we had last year? I certainly do. I'd like 10 or 15 myself. But we're going to have giving on our website. And this third one really excites me. Pretty soon, hopefully by the end of January, we're going to have our own church app so that you can get on your smartphone or your tablet and you can click, oh, there's the Calvary Baptist app, and you can click on that. And it's just like the other apps that you often go to. And we're excited about that, especially for our teens, because hopefully we'll be putting on their stuff for you so that instead of going to all those other bad apps that y'all go to, you can go to a good app, Calvary Baptist Church. Right, teenagers? Just shake your head yes and believe me whether or not you believe me. All right. Here's another thing we're looking at, hopefully by the end of this month, is live streaming our service. Now, I read the other day that live streaming first started 10 years ago. And you say, why have we waited so long? We want to make sure the technology was in place before we did it. Actually, the technology has been in place for a while, but prayerfully, that will be by the end of January. And here's what that means. You're sick one Sunday, all you have to go is to our church Facebook page at 11 o'clock, click on it, and you'll be able to be a part of our service. So that's like for somebody like Jenna, you know, I know you're going to be up in Virginia, but you can still go to church here every Sunday while you're up there. And we expect to see your likes on our live stream service. But we want to begin live streaming because I heard one man put it this way. He said, sometimes we tell people to come to our church, but with technology, we can take our church to them. And that's what we want to do with technology. We want to take our church to others. Here's a fifth thing that we're looking at, a different type of Sunday evening service. I've talked about this with Brother Lee. We've gone over it. And we're going to have a little bit different Sunday evening service. And you say, what are you talking about? Just come and see. We're looking at starting that on the 20th of January in the evening. You just have to come. I promise you, you will enjoy it. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. Here's something else we're looking at. Number six is reaching out to every single home in Cleburne. Every single home in Cleburne. I was talking to Brother Eddie Carroll this morning. You know, by the way, outreach is Tuesday night. We'll see you all here, all right? 6 o'clock for the meal, 7 o'clock for going out. But Brother Eddie Carroll, he is the canvassing king. He is the king of canvas. Every time it's like, what's Brother Eddie Carroll doing on outreach? We all know he's going to be going out knocking on doors. But what we're doing now is we're making it very systematic. Very systematic. This neighborhood, then going to this neighborhood, then going to this neighborhood, then going to this neighborhood where we can cover all of Cleburne. How long that will take, I don't know. It all depends on how many of you want to help us. Because Brother Evan was telling me he's going to start something with the teens, and we're going to work that out into the whole church, that eventually we're going to have probably once a month on a Saturday where anybody that would like to do that, just come on out. Even if you're shy and you say, man, I'm scared to death to go knock on a door, we'll put you with someone who's excited, that really knows what they're doing, and all you have to do is just stand there. How many of you can stand? All right, good, then you can go. Then you can go. And then number seven I have down here is the possible auditorium remodel. Now, the only reason I say possible is that it has to be voted on by you. We're in the process of getting all that done. Right now, it's taking a little bit because we do things with our remodel committee, and then we send it to the construction company and the architect, and then they send us stuff back, and then we send them stuff back. But I really believe that we're to the point right now that our remodel committee only needs to have one more meeting. That's prayerfully what we're looking at. We don't even have a date for that meeting yet because we've got to receive back things from the construction company and from the architect. Once we do that, I believe we can have a final meeting, look at everything, and then prayerfully, as soon as possible, present it to the church and take a vote on it. If that happens, and I keep saying if, folks, I'm not going to be shy about this. I believe it needs to be done, okay? I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm not going to be down the center on this. I'm not going to say, okay, folks, I'm going to be fair and balance this out. I'm just telling you, you need to just vote for it and just go ahead and get that in your head right now. Thank you. All right. But I'm not trying to persuade you. Either way, I'll be very fair with this. And let me just tell you something about our remodel committee. Again, it is a good broad section of the whole church. It's not just this group or that, folks. It's a good section. And I'm telling you, you know the people who are in it. You know the people who are in it. It's a good group of people who really have a love for the Lord, a love for this church, and want to see this church go forward. And we're looking at that now. Here's the downside of that, and I know nobody's going to like this, but if we do that, this building's going to be shut down for probably 9 months, maybe a year. All right? That means everything will be moving over to the to the Family Life Center. A lot of things will. The good thing is we've got a subcommittee that's going to tell us how that's all going to work out. So we're excited about that. Prayerfully, I don't even want to put a date on that. I don't even want to put a date on any of that because the construction company, the architect, were up here Friday looking things over again, finishing up some drawings. When they get it, they'll give it to us. We'll have our meeting. And prayerfully at that point, we can say, folks, here's what we want to do, and we would love to have you on board with us. Now, here is the last exciting thing I'm going to mention to you, because what I'm going to mention to you now is something that I believe is not just a short-term fix for anything. It is the long-term way to establish and grow a church. And that is with relational discipleship. Now I want to take a moment and explain that to you. Look at the two words. Word number one is relational. Everybody in here has relations with other people in here. In fact, my guess is this, probably, if not your best friends, some of your best friends on the planet are in this building with you right now. And in a lot of ways, I believe that's the way it should be. I've said this to you before, the church I grew up in, man, I loved being in the youth group there. I loved being around the people there. And a lot of them I still keep in contact with, even though many of them I haven't seen in years. That's the relationship part. I know people in this church, for example, that call other people in the church almost daily just to see how you're doing. But then there's the discipleship part. What do I mean by discipleship? Well, folks, that's the training. That is the teaching. But it's not just training and teaching. It's also going out and doing. And the question I have with relational discipleship is, why should we do relational discipleship? And the answer is, it is exactly what Jesus did in his ministry. Think about it. What did Christ do? He gathered a group together. And then after he had the big group together, he narrowed that down to 12, the apostles. And then he said, guys, everywhere I go, you're going to go for about the next two and a half years. We're going to spend all of our time together. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. And I ask you, did it work? When Jesus left, he said, guys, I'm gone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but this is up to you now. Jesus did not have a plan B. And it worked. We would not be here today if Jesus had not done that. I've heard people say, well, Jesus' only mission was to die on the cross and rise from the dead. No, it wasn't. He had another mission, to train these men to get ready to start this church and get it going once he was gone. And I say that, I believe the church was started before Jesus left, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. But that's what Jesus did. He grabbed them together and said, men, here's what we're going to do. We're going to train you. We're going to teach you. And one of the things when you read through the Gospels is you see that he didn't just sit down and teach them all the time. Because then he would say, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to split you up two by two, and you're going to go into all the villages and tell them about the Messiah. And what's interesting about that, when you read that in the Gospel of Luke, it indicates that Jesus just stayed where he was. He didn't go with them. He said, it's your turn, go. They went out, they did it, and then they all came back and reported. You know what Jesus was doing? He was giving them on-the-job training. He was saying, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you, I'm going to train you, and the reason I'm doing that is one day I'm going to leave you. And when I leave you, I want you to carry on. Now I want to mention just very quick some downsides to relational discipleship. Number one, it is slow starting up. By the way, we've already started this. Just wanted to tell you that. But it's slow to start. Because to do it, you have to do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus did? He took just a few people aside. By the way, you cannot disciple from the pulpit. You can teach from the pulpit. You can preach from the pulpit. But part of discipleship is getting out and doing it. It's not just, okay, here's a curriculum. And I don't mean to get ahead of myself. I'm getting just a little bit ahead of myself talking about curriculum. But it is slow to start because you have to have people in place who can do the training. And right now, we're very slowly starting it. Number two, a downside is it takes time. To be done right, it takes time. Folks, Jesus took 2.5 years, and maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, to train the 12 apostles. Okay? That's a long time. Well, we're not looking at 2.5 years, okay? What we're looking at is when you're in a discipleship group, that it takes about 6 months. And then prayerfully, those who have then been discipled, you know what we want you to do? We want you to go and disciple somebody else. We want you to invest your heart, your life into somebody else. And you just keep doing that, and it's like the old shampoo commercial when it would start with one and they would say, and so on, and double every time, okay? That's the idea, that it just keeps growing. The problem is, folks, it takes time. This is not something that we can have up and running this week. You know, some of the things I've mentioned to you already, we're going to have up and running before January's over. Some of them, hopefully, we'll have up and running before February's over. This, to get up and running, it takes time. And then the third thing with it is that it's more than curriculum. Folks, if it was just curriculum, I could just hand out books to everybody. You could fill in the blank and you'd be discipled. Except that's not how discipleship takes place. It's got to be somebody pouring their life into somebody else. That's what discipleship, you know, that's what Jesus did, folks. He poured his life into the disciples. And when you read Paul's words, he talks about that he literally gave his own soul, poured out his soul for the people that he was investing in. Now, if you're wondering about the term disciple, I've mentioned this to you before, the word Christian or Christians occurs 3 times in the Bible, 3 times in the New Testament. The term disciple or disciples occurs over 200 times in the New Testament. And many times we talk about us being Christians, but we don't talk about us being disciples. Folks, a disciple is a follower. Ultimately, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. Here's the downside of it. It's slow. It's slow to start. It takes time. And it's more than just curriculum. It's more than just, okay, we're going to meet together, fill in some blanks, and we're going to walk away, all be joyous in the Lord. What we want are mature people who can train other people how to do the work of the ministry. Remember those words we read from Ephesians chapter 4? I'm going to read them again to you very quickly here. In Ephesians chapter 4, particularly in verse 12, it talks about God giving gifts to the church. And these gifts include apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God puts these leaders in churches so that people can be perfected. And the idea behind that word perfected is the idea of military being equipped to go into battle. Don't you like to be equipped? Don't you like to be ready? Talked to a man years ago, and this probably happened almost 50 years ago, but he said he got a job working, making cars at a car plant. I believe he said it was a Ford plant, but I don't want to mention because I know some of you are really into your car brand, and I don't want anybody getting upset with what I'm going to say. But he said what he was supposed to do was to apply grease to the back axle. And you know the cars go by on a conveyor belt, and he's just grease, grease. And he said he got 10 seconds worth of training. And he said, after a while, it was like, did I get that last one? Because he said they were going pretty quick, and all of a sudden, the whole assembly line stops, and somebody comes back and says, you missed a car. What is wrong with you? It's like, I just got 10 seconds worth of training. Folks, when we talk about discipleship, we're not talking about 10 seconds worth of training. We're talking about months and months so that people can be equipped for the work of the ministry. And what does that verse say? Folks, if people in this church are equipped and perfected for the work of the ministry, the body will be edified. This body will be lifted up. And listen, these are not my words. These are Paul's words. And what we're talking about is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus did his ministry. He gathered people around. He trained them. He got them prepared. And then he said, I'm leaving. Do this right. And guess what? They did it right. Peter preached one day and 3,000 got saved. Preached a few days later, 5,000 more got saved. But that couldn't have happened if Jesus had not taken them aside and taught them and trained them one-on-one, or in this case with the group, for all that time. And that's what we're prayerfully looking at doing. And I want to say one more thing about it. And I'm very hesitant to use the language I'm about to use here. I'm hesitant because I've heard people say stuff like this. And have you ever heard people say, well, God led me to do this? And you're kind of scratching your head going, I'm not really sure God led you to do that. Can I just tell you this? I believe with all my heart that God put this on my heart. He put it on my heart. And I believe that 100%. I believe that God put this on my heart to share with you so that this church can move forward. And I believe that 100%. And I want to tell you, I'm hesitant to say things like that again because I've heard people say, well, God's leading me to do this. And I'm thinking, do you know that sin? God doesn't lead you into sin. I had a lady tell me one time that God was leading her to leave her husband and go with another man. And I said, I don't believe that's God that's leading you to do that. Now I want to take just a moment, and we're going to be done very quickly here, and look at our theme for this year. Our theme for 2019 is renew, restore, refresh. We're taking this straight from Scripture. I hope you have Psalm 51 open. Psalm 51. And look in verse 10. Some of these verses will also be up on the screen. But verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our first word for the year is renew. What do we need to renew, folks? We need to renew a right spirit within us. Renew a right spirit. Now, some people want to use the word attitude there. Okay, I won't argue with you on that. Renew a right attitude. Renew a right spirit. Very often, it is possible to do God's work and have a bad spirit. You know how I know that? Because I've done it before. You remember the very first job you had and how excited you were that first day? And I remember it was sacking groceries at Tom Thumb. And folks, I was being paid, you ready for this, $3.35 an hour. I mean, I was so excited. I had hit the big time. And the very first week, because it was the grand opening, I was in high school. I worked 38 hours. And I could not wait to get my first paycheck. And it was then that I found out that there was an IRS. And I looked and I said, what? I was supposed to make? And it wasn't anywhere near what I thought I was going to get. And that's when I found out that there was a federal government. But I'm telling you, though, I was so excited to work there. I couldn't wait. I was ready to get to work every day. You know, after a while, and all of a sudden you realize, I got to take these groceries out to people's cars even when it's raining. Even if there's snow on the ground. And the worst days ever were days when it was icy and snowy because everybody would want to get their groceries before it got really bad. And suddenly I was like, you know what? I don't really want to go to work today. Now, I know none of you have ever felt that way about your jobs, have you? Never. And I remember very specifically one time when I was doing that and I read this verse here. And I just said, God, give me that right spirit again. Give me that excited spirit. And by the way, when you think of can you do things with a bad spirit, have you ever seen anything about Troy Aikman's autobiography or his biography? Folks, when they won the first Super Bowl, he was just as excited as can be. Won the second Super Bowl, he was still pretty excited. And he'll say this, he hated that third season where they won a Super Bowl. And he'll tell you that. I was watching his biography one time, And he just said, I did not like that year. I did not like anything about football that year. He still won, and that was great. But he'll tell you, man, I had a bad spirit about it. Well, folks, God wants us to have a right spirit, and we can't get a right spirit without renewing that spirit. Let's look at the second one very quickly here. Psalm 51:12, just about two verses down from where we were, says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The second part is this, restoration. What do we need to have restored, folks? We need to have restored the joy of salvation. I said that a minute ago about Troy Aikman. But it's so strange. We get into ruts sometimes. We're so excited about doing something, and we do it, and after a while, you know, we've got folks in this room here that have been working with our children and teens on Wednesday nights for 15 to 20 years. I'm telling you, there are nights that they go home and say, I don't know why I am doing this. I promise you they do. And they can kind of be grumpy, and all of a sudden, the next week, one of the kids in their class gets saved. You know what happens to them? I'm ready to go again. I'm ready to go again. Folks, we need to have the joy of our salvation return. How many of you are truly joyful that you're saved? Now, I'm not asking you to say amen or raise your hand with that, because I'm afraid there might not be any amens or hands raised, all right? But how many of you are truly joyful that you're saved this morning? And all right, well, I appreciate that. David said here, Lord, restore that joy. Man, I want to serve you like I used to. I want to live for you like I used to. In fact, look in the next verse at verse 13. This is not on the screen, but he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David says, when I get it back, you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to give it away. When I get that joy of my salvation and I'm excited again about serving God, I'm going to make sure everybody knows, and sinners will be converted unto you, God. That is the way it should be. And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 100, verse 2, that says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Now, let me ask this. Do you have to be glad when you're serving the Lord? Folks, you don't. You don't. You can be grumpy when you're serving the Lord. You know how I know? Because I've been a Baptist all my life. I've seen a bunch of grumpy Baptists. Well, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. You know, one of the best illustrations I've ever heard was from Charles Stanley. And he said when he was a teenager, he had to work baling hay all summer. And he said he was in a hot barn baling hay all summer long. And he said when that summer started, he was the grumpiest person on the planet. He was mad. He didn't know why he was doing it. And by the way, he said everybody else was too. Until he said one day he went home and God laid it on his heart. Look, you can do this and be grumpy, or you can do this with joy. And he said he changed his attitude. He became joyous in what he was doing. And he said it was the best summer of his life. And then he went back the next summer and did it again. And I'm telling you, folks, anything we do, we can do it with gladness and joy, or we can do it with grumpiness. God wants us to serve the Lord with gladness. Here's the last verse. And this is a little bit of ways, but it's in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And Peter says this while he's preaching. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing. What a great word. We've talked about renewal and restoration. And God says, you know what I'm going to do? I want to refresh you. What do you think about when you hear the word refresh? I know what you think about. You think about a pro athlete drinking a Sprite. Ah, this is refreshing, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the way they portray it on TV, don't they? You drink our brand of soft drink and you will be refreshed. And God says, hey, I've got something a whole lot better than that. God says, you repent, you be converted, and listen, you're going to get refreshing, and it's going to come from the presence of the Lord. Folks, that's our third word. renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When the times of refreshing shall come, renew, restore, refresh. That's what we need God to do in our hearts and our lives. Folks, that's what I want in my life. And I want to tell you what I have been doing for about 2 weeks now. I have challenged myself to do a 40-day prayer, and every day I have been praying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Can I encourage you to do that too? When you pray, whatever your prayer may be, and certainly you're going to pray for things out in this, somewhere in there, throw, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Listen, be joyous again about serving God. Get that right spirit within you, and God says, I will refresh you. Now, one last thought is this. What's the key to being renewed, restored, and refreshed? The key is repentance. Because that's what Peter said in Acts 3:19. His very first three words are, repent ye therefore. He said, you want to be refreshed? You need to repent. Have you ever read Psalm 51? That entire chapter was written by David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had murdered Bathsheba's husband. He broke at least four of the Ten Commandments. And he realized he was so far from God, he couldn't serve him anymore. And the whole psalm is one gigantic psalm of David just saying, Lord, I repent. I repent. I repent. I mean, earlier in the psalm, he says, wash me throughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from thy sin, from my sin. And over, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He's just praying over again, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I repent. I want to be renewed and restored and refreshed. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's how to get all of those things. It's with repentance. You say, does repentance apply to Christians? You need to read Revelation 2 and 3. Those were letters that Christ wrote to the churches, and in those letters, almost every one of them, somewhere it says, repent therefore. Folks, repentance, sometimes we say, oh, that's just for the lost. It's for the Christian too. There are times that we need to say, that's it. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. The Bible does say, no man can serve two masters, but we Baptists sure attempt it, don't we? We're going to try it. We're going to try to prove Jesus wrong. And Lord, I'm going to try to serve two masters. It doesn't work. It will make you miserable. Because folks, there's only one master, and that's Jesus Christ. And this morning, He is calling all of us to repentance. He is calling all of us to be renewed and restored and refreshed. But folks, we can't do it by living our lives the way we're living them right now. We have to repent, folks. We have to return to Jesus Christ. And I want to implore you to do that this morning. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have never been saved, Jesus is calling to you right now. And folks, you've got to believe that He died for you on the cross, that He rose again. That's why He came, to die and rise again. You've got to believe that. The Bible talks about, in the book of Thessalonians, that they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Folks, get away from that stuff you used to do. Now, there's no work that we can do to be saved. We understand that. But God does not want us to live the way we have been living. And if you need to be saved, it can be as simple as just saying, Lord, save me right now, if you truly believe that Jesus can save you and that He died on the cross from your sins and rose from the dead. It can be as simple as that. It's not a specific prayer that God's looking for. He's looking for that faith in your heart. But you do truly have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. There's no way around that one. You can't do anything but that. And then, Christian, I ask you, are you satisfied with your Christian life right now? You know, many times Paul talked about contentment, but it was always contentment in the circumstances where he was. He's in prison and he says, you know what? If God wants me in prison, I'm content with it. But Paul was never content with who he was, because he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, man, I'm looking at that finish line and I want to get there and I want to keep running to the very last moment. And that should be our attitudes. If we've dropped out of the race, if we're standing on the sidelines, if we're kind of walking through it, folks, let's get back up and get in the race and get running again. And we do that by repenting and telling God we are sorry for what we have done. And folks, we do that and God will renew us and He will restore us and He will refresh us. Would you stand with me at this time, please? Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask you to bless this invitation time. Lord, we do pray for renewal, for restoration, for refreshment. Lord, we know that it can only come through repentance. God, I pray that you would just work us over, work our hearts over to see that we need to quit trying to serve multiple masters. There is just one master to serve, and that is Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for that one here who may not know you as Savior. There may be somebody that's listening to this and they may have never even heard before that they could actually be forgiven. They've never heard before that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. And I pray that right now your Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. And even as we're speaking, that they can pray and ask Jesus to save them. And that you can save that soul this morning. And for Father, for we Christians, I pray we would be as David when he said, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Pray, Lord, that we would long after you, that we would seek you with all of our heart, and you have promised that if we seek you, you will be found. Father, bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, as we say with an invitation, that's exactly what we're doing. We're inviting you to make a decision based on what you've heard. For some of you, I'm telling you, God needs you down at these altars praying to Him and repenting. That's what God needs for you. For others of you, maybe there's someone that came into your mind who needs this renewal and restoration and refreshment. And maybe they're not here this morning, or maybe it's a loved one. Maybe you want to come down and pray for them and say, God, they need this renewal. They need this restoration. They need this refreshing. And maybe it's for you yourself. Because folks, I believe with all my heart that every one of us could use that refreshment from the Lord. Every one of us could use that renewal. Every one of us could use that restoration. And it's yours for the taking if you just repent and turn back to God. But we invite you to come now. Just let the Lord work on your heart. You come as God touches your heart. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea.
Are there others who need to come? Listen, if God's working on your heart, don't put it off. Don't put it off. One of the things the devil might be telling you right now is, hey, every bit of that is true, but why don't you worry about it next week? And he'll just keep saying that, and you'll put it off, and it won't mean a thing. But God wants you to be renewed. God wants you to be restored. God wants you to be refreshed. He wants that for all of us, but we can't do it unless we're willing to obey Him. Do what he says. Let's sing on that next verse.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come.
God continues to work. Let's sing one more verse here.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
I want to have just one more verse. Would everybody just bow your heads just for a moment? Let's just have the instruments play. Just be in a spirit of prayer as God is continuing to work down here. And I want to pray for you this morning. I just want to ask this simple question with no one looking around. Is there anyone that you feel like you need renewal and you need restoration and refreshing this morning? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. I'd like to pray for you. I see hands all over the building. Just, you'd like to be renewed and refreshed and restored. Just lift your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Father, I want to pray for these who have raised their hand. And Lord, for any others that maybe they didn't raise their hand, but they know deep in their heart, they need to be renewed and restored and refreshed. And I pray that this would be the year that it happens. And Father, that we would realize we cannot serve two masters. We must live for You and You alone. We must be obedient to You. Father, make a difference. Make a difference in lives. Make a difference in hearts. Father, if there's one here who does not know You, I pray that today they would consider the claims of Christ upon their heart, that Christ died for them and rose from the dead. And I pray that today, even before this day is over, that they would trust You as Lord and Savior. Father, we love You so much, and we are just thankful for how good You have been. And again, we pray that You would renew us, restore us, and refresh us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just continue with your heads bowed as the music continues here. Again, I know this is a little bit long. We're going to have just one more verse. Again, just continue to be in a spirit of prayer as our instruments play. Thank you so much. We want to ask you just to be seated, please, and just be reverent of the Lord still working down here at the front. And we're going to have Brother Evan make some announcements in just a moment. But I just again want to ask you, if you're visiting with us this morning, when this service is over, my wife and I are going to head back to our coffee shop, which is back over in this corner of the building. We'd love to meet with you just to get to know you a little better. And we'll have a free gift for you if you'll head back there with us. But again, so good to see all of you here this morning. And prayerfully, you'll be back tonight. We'd love to see you. Brother Evan.
And just a couple of announcements. Today, after this service, we have a quick teen parent meeting. So if you have a